The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Jim Cronin from the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next hour, I shall read you from the Reader's Digest and Consumer Reports. Okay, let's go ahead and start this. And we are doing Your True Stories, Parenting Passed Down. Genes aren't the only things we inherit. Readers share the rules and tradition that made them the parents they are today. Both of my parents, Winning Hearts is the title of this one, both of my parents chose service professions, teaching and nursing, and spent nights and weekends volunteering. Both taught at a life of dedicated to helping others is one full of purpose and meaning. I am a physician and have worked with the homeless community for 11 years. I'm also a mom to two boys who dirt bike. At their first race, my oldest went first and managed to catch a little air. My youngest surprised me even more. Every time a rider fell or crashed, he'd stop and wait until they got up. He lost the race, but won it being a good human. Parenting isn't easy, but it'll surprise you. Sarah Dooley, Tijeras, New Mexico. Just fishing. My dad was an avid fisherman and loved taking me with him. We'd wake up early and drive to his favorite hole. We'd stop for breakfast and he'd get steak and eggs. I'd be his helper, launching the boat and holding the line while he parked the car. Then we'd head out to catch the big one. Now I take my granddaughter fishing. She has caught bullhead and bass. What excitement! And can cast her own line. Nana hooks the worms. The Trace Adkins song's Just Fishing goes, she ain't even thinking about what's really going on right now, but I guarantee this member's a big one and thinks we're just fishing. Every time I hear it, I feel my dad's love. I hope my granddaughter feels my love for her. Barbara Fagenbaum, Penfield, New York. Banding together. I started band as a high school freshman with my brother's baritone horn. I didn't have a prior lesson as my bandmates did, so it was much harder for me. When I told my mom I was quitting, she promptly told me that I was not. In due time, I absolutely loved band. Years later, my daughter Sheena was in the band, using the same baritone. One day, she too said she was quitting, and I told her she was not. She kept at it and came to love it too. Now Sheena is in her 30s and still tells me how glad she is I didn't let her quit. Me too, Mom. Me too. Janet Brandes, Collin, Wisconsin. Like a champ. I grew up very athletic tomboy. My mother occasionally told me to let the boys win because they wouldn't like me if I always beat them, so I did. My daughter is also quite athletic and has never heard anything even slightly resembling those words. I tell her she's as good as those boys and to do her best and win. And she has. She has grown up very confident and is even more broadly admired for her determination. What a difference a generation makes. Clary Frederick, Linden, Michigan. Choose your battles. My parents talk about video games being bad for kids, but I built an arcade machine for my son. I loved arcades as a kid, and my dad and I are software developers, so it's a bit of a legacy. Plus, it's a good lesson. If you want something, build it. Of course, it's also just something fun to do together. Many think video games are isolating, but arcade games invite others to gather and play. It's a nifty bit of bonding when we help the other player get out of a corner and the bad guys have backed them into. Joe Hawking, Highland Park, Illinois. The whistle effect. My father's whistle could be heard all over the neighborhood. My friends recognized it too, and they would tell me, "Your dad is looking for you." I never considered claiming I couldn't hear it. I eventually learned to whistle just as loud as him, and use it to bring my daughters home too. But now, grandkids are shepherded home via technology. I reserve the whistle for recitals, sports events, and award ceremonies. I'm certainly not the only one who could shatter the air, but every time I hear a grand whistle, I smile and think of my dad. There he is. Mary Jo Ungolia, Schaumburg, Illinois. Buckle up. When I was growing up, many cars didn't have seat belts. Nevertheless, my brother and I were told to buckle up on every drive. No exceptions. Dad's rule. Now that I have kids of my own, they also have to wear their seat belts on every trip. During my daughter's driver education lessons, she hopped into the back seat and put her seatbelt on when as another student's turn to drive. An oncoming vehicle hit them head-on. Everyone was seriously injured. A paramedic said the seatbelt had broken my daughter's sternum, but if it had been there, she'd have gone through the windshield. My dad's rule saved my daughter's life. Penny Males, Lucas, Texas. Showtime like the present. That's snow time like the present. My kids have gotten to do some pretty outrageous things thanks to my mom. She always prioritized exposing me to new experiences. We visited Canada when I was 11. My heart was brimming with excitement when I saw my first snow. My grandmother suggested that it was too late and that I could play tomorrow, but my mom said, "Nope, I think I'll let him play a little now." It was 70 degrees the next morning. No snow for the rest of our trip. I got to play in it because my mom didn't want me to miss an opportunity. It's a philosophy I've limited with my own parenting. Just one exception for my dear daughter. No skydiving, please. Jonathan Gerwitz, Mamsie, New York. Following the clues, my mama took great joy in having fun with her kids. She loved to make up songs and poems for us. She had a Louisiana accent and amused us with expressions like fiddlesticks and pumpkin, and her pronunciation of Chicago. Chicago! Holidays were her chance to really get creative. One gift began with a clue. Upon finding that clue, we'd find another that would send us after another clue until we found the gift. The whole family would help search. My children never met my mama, but her memory, humor, gift-giving idea lived on. One of my greatest joy has been witnessing my sons set up gift hunts for their own kids. Cindy Stillings, Topeka, Kansas. Now something more serious, a drama in real life. Nightmare on Lake Superior. One by one, the three kayakers capsized in the cold, angry water. Then they become separated. It was meant to be another boys' trip, the latest in a tradition that stretched back more than two decades. Every other year, the old friends, Jim Farrington, 49, an electrical lineman in Alden, Michigan, Sean Royston, 47, an electrical grid systems manager in Cottage Grove, Wisconsin, and Tolan Annis, 53, the co-owner of a craft distillery in Grand Lodge, Michigan, had kissed their wives goodbye and headed out on an expedition. This time they decided to kayak Lake Superior's Pictured Rocks National Lakeshore, a challenging out-and-back route. On the morning of September 13th, 2016, they loaded up on food and camping gear, donned waterproof paddling pants and quick-dry T-shirts, and zipped up their life jackets. The forecast called for winds building to 10 knots and seas rising to 1 to 3 feet by early afternoon, then stronger winds overnight. The friends were undeterred. They climbed into their 14 to 16-foot-long sea kayaks and at about 10:30 pushed off from the beach at Sandpoint, less than 100 yards from the park headquarters. They planned to return in a week. The trio punched out through small waves and headed northeast. Soon the National Lakeshore's trademark cliffs began to rise on their right. The next chance to get out to the kayaks would be some 5 miles ahead, beyond a tourist overlook called Miner's Castle Point. Away from the shore, the headwind grew into the forecast at 10 knots and kept rising. The waves grew to 4 feet. Still, they never considered turning around. They'd already traveled around 4 miles and had kayaked in worse conditions. They'd been paddling maybe 90 minutes when suddenly the waves grew to 6 feet and steepened. The wind rose to 20 knots. When it went bad fast, says Annis, who was in the lead, about 60 feet ahead of Farrington. Royston trailed 40 or 50 feet behind Farrington. Royston was the first to go overboard. It was a bad place for a swim. The water was a chilly 62 degrees, and wind and choppy waves were pushing him toward the cliffs 100 yards away. Miner's Castle Point was maybe a quarter mile upwind, and the closest safe landing beach was another quarter mile beyond that. Separated. After Royston tipped, Farrington quickly padded over to him. He brought the boat parallel to Royston's and steadied it as Royston scrambled into his cockpit, which was now full of water. He began working the small plastic hand pump and couldn't stay ahead of the waves. The pumping was just no use, Royston said. I'd get close and another wave would come over us. Meanwhile, the wind pushed them closer to the cliffs, where the waves became even steeper. One wave brought both Royston and Farrington into the water. Farrington managed to get back into his boat, as did Royston, his second re-entry of the day. When they looked up, they saw Annis in the water further out, clinging to his boat. Farrington and Royston pressed their kayaks together for stability, each holding on to other's kayak with one hand while paddling with the other. But with the boats heavy with water and facing big swells and 20-knot winds, they couldn't make any progress. Annis was on his own. By then, my arms were giving out, Royston says. I looked at Jim and said, I can't do this anymore. We kept getting closer and closer to the cliffs, and at some point I said, we got to call now. Using a VHF radio clipped to their life jacket, Farrington called, Mayday, 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 three kayakers stranded at Miner's Rock. But there was no response, because no one heard the calls. The tall cliffs blocked the radio signal from reaching the park's headquarters or anyone else on land, and no vessels were on the lake. A small craft advisory had been issued just after the kayaks launched, so the tour boats that normally ply the lake ashore, were tied to their piers. Another wave slammed into the boats, and Farrington capsized a second time. When he got back into the kayak, the radio was gone, stripped from his life jacket, as were his cell phone and GPS unit. Throughout the ordeal, Royston and Farrington had been trying to make it around Miner's Castle Point, about a quarter mile upwind. Now they realized that even that short distance was impossible in their waterlogged kayaks, and they began looking for an alternative. They allowed the wind and waves to push them toward the narrow rocky ledge at the base of the cliffs. Maybe they could land there and drain their kayaks before continuing around the point. But when they arrived, they realized the ledge was an illusion. It was actually a partially submerged strip of sandstone, and it was being pummeled by head-high waves. Farrington somehow managed to get onto the sandstone. He gripped the plastic T-handle in the bow of his kayak, which Royston held tightly against his own kayak. Farrington's grip held, but the handle didn't. It tore clean off. The two boats slid back into the crashing surf, and in the process tossed Royston back into the water. The waves pushed Royston against the boats and along the shoreline before he disappeared around a small outcropping. "The last time I saw him, he was rolling through the waves," Farrington says, "and I swore his life jacket was unzipped." It was roughly 12:30. 2 hours after shoving off, all three men were now separated. As far as Farrington knew, Royston was likely already dead, and Annis was nowhere to be seen. Now he was stranded on the rocks, and his radio and cell phone likely were somewhere on the bottom of Lake Superior. Farrington tried walking the narrow strip of shoreline like a tightrope artist, but the waves kept knocking him off the rocks. As he crawled his way out of the water a third time, Annis came floating by, holding his boat with one hand on the cockpit rim. He'd been kicking towards Miner's Castle Point for more than an hour, trying to get around the point of land at Miner's Beach, but he had lost ground to the powerful wind. The men yelled at each other, but the communication was hopeless. Soon Annis disappeared from sight around another small outcropping. Alone again, Farrington found a broken tree trunk and used it to scramble off the rocks, eventually climbing about halfway up the 90-foot cliff face. He could climb no farther, it was too steep. The Miner's Castle Point overlook was just above him, close enough that he could hear the thump of car doors closing as families visited the scenic attraction. He halted until he was hoarse, but no one heard him. Royston struggled in the surf until the waves finally spat him away from the shoreline and farther out into the lake. Exhausted, he floated on his back and considered his options. Miner's Castle was barely a quarter mile to the northeast, but with the wind and swell coming from that direction, it may well have been on the moon. Royston decided to turn a downwind towards Sand Point, where they had launched that morning, 3.5 miles away. But the distance wasn't all that concerned him. Though he didn't feel particularly cold, Royston knew it was only a matter of time until hypothermia set in. He needed to get out of the water and quickly. "I'm a swimmer," he says, "and I thought, well, let's just start kicking." After about 3 hours, Royston made it most of the way back to Sand Point, where the cliffs finally gave way to a cedar swamp. "I got to a point where I could actually walk up and grab some of the branches." After half an hour of wading through the thick foliage, he came to the mouth of a creek. It gave him just enough of an opening to drag himself out of the water. He followed the creek bed into the cedar thicket and spotted a dirt hiking trail. He started down the trail as fast as his wobbly legs could walk, blowing past an older couple taking pictures, till he reached the parking lot. And that's when Dunluck finally took a shine to Sean Royston. A park ranger happened to be driving by. Royston waved him down. It was just before 5 p.m. Royston, Farrington, and Annis had gone into the water 4.5 hours earlier. Finally, a search and rescue operation set out to help locate his missing friends. The National Park Service launched its patrol boat, Arrowhead, and began scanning the shoreline between Sand Point and Miner's Castle. The Coast Guard dispatched a 45-foot patrol boat and scrambled a rescue helicopter. Since becoming separated from Royston, Farrington hadn't moved much from where he was standing midway up the 90-foot cliff. Wearing his bright red paddling top and life jacket, he was like a beacon against a tan sandstone wall. Though he'd lost his glasses in the water, he spotted the Arrowhead's flashing light bar coming around a bend. "The biggest relief in my life was seeing them blue flashing lights that no one ever wants to see in a rearview mirror," Farrington says. Using the boat's loudspeaker, rangers told him to stay put. A rescue was underway. The chopper arrived at 6:29 p.m. It wasn't going to be an easy rescue. To pluck Farrington from his spot, the pilots would have to hover uncomfortably close to the tree-lined sheer cliff. But they would have to lower a rescue from more than five times the preferred height, using 210 feet of cable when they normally use only 40, all in a swirling 20-knot winds, and as a helicopter pilot, I knew how tough that would be. Almost impossible. Leaves, twigs, and debris rained down on Farrington as the rescuer descended. He strapped himself to Farrington, and then the two were hoisted back into the helicopter. The streets were glowing when the chopper set down after 7 p.m. in the parking lot of Munsing Memorial Hospital, where Farrington was finally reunited with Royston. After refueling, the helicopter lifted off to search for Annis, who by now had been in the water for 7 hours. The search centered around Miner's Castle, where he'd last been seen. But Miner's was already miles to the west. When Miner's capsized, he was about 150 feet from the others, too far away for them to help or communicate. After failing several times to climb back into his kayak, he chose to wait for the others to assist him. But the next time he looked for Royston and Farrington, they were gone. Annis resolved to stay with his orange kayak at all cost. It would be easier for rescues to spot than a lone swimmer dressed in blue and gray. The kayak offered flotation and was packed with the food and dry clothes he'd need if he managed to reach the shore. That was his plan. Kick with a kayak around Miner's Castle and land at Miner's Beach. The problem? 20-knot winds were whipping around the point, making progress in that direction all but impossible. Eventually, Annis abandoned his plan and turned west instead. The hours flew together and Annis kept kicking. Normally, when you have a situation go bad on you, it happens fast, and adrenaline carries you through it. But after 7 hours, there's no adrenaline left, he says. I had no sense of time. But I'd seen the sun go across the sky. I could start feeling myself become hypothermic. I was getting sleepy. My hands were shaking. And I thought, you've got to get out of this water soon, or if it's not, it's not going to end well. About a mile from Sandpoint, where the journey began, he saw his chance, a low spot on the cliff with a thick tree root reaching down. The boat was full of water and the waves were beating it hard. So as I was trying to grab the root, the boat became a weapon against me, he says. Annis made the difficult decision to let the kayak go, along with the positions it held. He pulled himself up on the route to the edge of the thicket across the low cliff. By the time he got there, the boat had drifted out of sight. Annis continued along the ridgeline, hoping the boat might get caught up in the underbrush. And that's exactly what happened. He scrambled down the cliff to his kayak and recovered a few pieces of essential gear, including a change of clothes. He swigged water down his parched throat and ate handfuls of trail mix. Then he grabbed the phone he kept in a waterproof box. There's very little cell service around Pictured Rocks, but Annis caught a signal. The 911 operator knew who I was, she says. She told me, we've already got the other two. Stay put. Soon the helicopter was circling directly above Annis. They couldn't see him in the dusk until a pinprick of light shone through the underbrush. It was Annis signaling with his headlamp. The helicopter held a steady to mark Annis' position as a team of National Park Service rangers made their way to him. The rangers judged him well enough to hike out, and they bushwhacked way back to the trail in the darkness, then walked a half mile back to Sand Point, where his journey had begun. The rangers asked Annis if he wanted to be taken to the hospital. His response was emphatic. No way, he said. My jeep is a block away. I'd just as soon go to the hospital and pick up the other guys up. When he arrived at the emergency room, Annis found Farrington and Royston. They had changed out of their wet clothes and into hospital scrubs and socks. Annis took them shoe shopping at the only store still open, a supermarket. All they had were women's flip-flops with sparkles, so they brought a couple of pairs, says Annis. The restaurants were all closed, but sympathetic workers at a nearby casino listened to their story and reopened the kitchen for them. When the server came over and asked what they wanted, Annis, the distillery owner ordered first. Whiskey. The three friends posted their good fortune and gorged themselves on fried chicken strips. The next day they walked the shoreline, Farrington and Royston still in scrubs and women's sandals, and recovered all three boats, as well as wallets, keys, and most of their gear. Their vacation lasted only one day, but all three were more than ready to return to their families. Is this your password? A mobile security firm, Lookout, analyzed passwords that had been leaked on the dark web, and it published a list of the most common ones. If you use any of these, try being a little or a lot more original. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. QWERTY. I love you. ABC 1, 2, 3. Default. 1111111. Password. Flip the script. Before dialing your doctor, try finding relief with these simple home remedies that really work. For dry, itchy skin, take an oatmeal bath. Several studies show the benefits of using this traditional breakfast grain to treat skin symptoms. One 2020 trial, for instance, found that patients with eczema showed more improvement when their hand creams contained colloidal oatmeal. Colloidal means the grains are pulverized into dust and mixed thoroughly into the lotion or solution. Oatmeal has an anti-itch, anti-inflammatory, soothing properties, and it improves the skin's direct barrier, says Sandy Skoticki, MD, a dermatologist in the Department of Medicine at the University of Toronto. This, thanks to the grain's natural antioxidants, proteins, and other special components, the starch and fiber in oatmeal also help draw moisture into the skin. You can make your own colloidal oatmeal by breaking down rolled oats with a coffee grinder or a blender. Put 1 cup of pulverized oats into a tightly woven mesh bag. The tighter the weave, the smaller the cleanup will be afterwards, and immerse it in lukewarm to warm bath water. Don't use hot water, as that will further irritate the skin. Just be careful getting into the tub. The bath might get a bit slippery. Don't over-soak, as this can also cause skin irritation. The data shows that a quick bath of less than 10 minutes every day can be helpful, followed by application of a moisturizer that helps repair skin barriers, says Dr. Skoticki, adding that it's best to look for a product that says it treats eczema, even if that's not what you have. These are the best in part because they're formulated without allergens. For constipation, drink a tablespoon of olive oil. When you're feeling stopped up, swallowing a spoonful of extra virgin olive oil every day can help move things along. That's a good way to put it. It has been shown in experiments, including one on patients with ulcerative colitis, published in 2020 in the European Journal of Clinical Nutrition. Participants had fewer symptoms of constipation with taking extra virgin olive oil as opposed to canola oil, which was used for comparison, and blood tests showed that disease was less active. It's thought that the extra virgin olive oil can help hydrate and soften stools, making them easier to pass, says Desiree Nelson, registered dietitian and author of the book Good for Your Gut. Try taking olive oil in the morning when your bowels are more active, and on an empty stomach, Nelson notes that kiwis and prunes, which he often recommends to clients, are brother studied for their laxative effects. But extra virgin olive oil has added heart-healthy benefits. It's also tasty if a little peppery after it goes down. When you're shopping, double-check the price to ensure you're not cheated into buying soybean oil flavored with a bit of olive oil, says Nielsen. Beware if you see a liter of extra virgin olive oil for $6.99 instead of $12 or so. Another indicator is when it was harvested. Look for a harvest date on the bottle. It should be within the past 18 to 24 months. For joint pain, go on a brisk walk. If you have painful arthritis in your knees, you might be tempted to take it easy. Instead, set a goal of spending an hour a week, that's just 9 minutes a day, walking briskly, as if you were trying to catch a train or were late for a meeting. People who do this are 85% less likely to end up with mobility problems from their arthritis, according to the 2019 findings by researchers at Northwestern University outside Chicago. It's unlikely that physical stress of brisk walking will cause more wear and tear on your knees. Bioengineers at Queen Mary University in London showed that this kind of mechanical pressure on the joints, in fact, triggers a protective effect in cartilage cells that wards off inflammation and damage. For hiccups, sip with suction. Whether it's holding your breath or gulping water, everyone has a go-to trick for stopping hiccups, involuntary spasms of the diaphragm. The problem is, hiccup cures are usually hit or miss, says Ali Selfie, MD, associate professor and neurosurgeon at the University of Texas Health Science Center at San Antonio. The remedies activate the phrenic nerve, regulating the diaphragm muscle, or the vagus nerve, which regulates the epiglottis, which has a scientific basis. But trying these home remedies may not reach that sensitive point at which they can stop the hiccups. Selfish solution is a special straw, which he dubbed the Hickaway, that requires approximately 5 times the suction compared to sipping from a regular straw. That's the key, he says. It means higher and more prolonged contraction of the diaphragm muscles, which trigger a longer duration of nerve activation. That pressure, coupled with swallowing to activate the phrenic and vagus nerves, resets the brain. More than 90% of participants in a 2021 study said the hiccaway stopped their hiccups when they tried it. For a home remedy that works the same way, Dr. Snell suggests filling a glass with water and stretching a coffee filter or a few layers of a strong paper towel over the top. Hold it tightly and place it secure with a rubber band, then drink the water through the coffee filter. The suction have the same effect. I've tried this myself and it works, says Dr. Selfie. For stinky feet, soak in black tea. Your feet contain about 250,000 sweat glands, more than an inch than any other part of your body. And it's a combination of sweat plus bacteria that's to blame when your feet start to smell bad. A black tea soak can address both problems. Tea is high in antibacterial component called tannic acid, so it helps to kill the germs. Tannins are also astringents, which means they tighten pores when they're applied to the skin. Marathon runners use tea bag soaks because if you sweat less, you get fewer blisters, says Dr. Skanecki. Tannic acid gels are available from compounding pharmacies, but you can make your own formula at home. Boil a couple of tea bags in about 2 cups of water for 15 minutes. Dilute it with 8 more cups of water, and when it's cool enough, soak your feet for 30 minutes. Do this daily for a week until you see improvements. After that, once a week maintenance soak should do the trick. For sensitive teeth. For sensitive teeth, rub with toothpaste. Brushing regularly with a toothpaste designed for sensitive teeth can ease discomfort because it contains ingredients that coat teeth where enamel has worn away, dulling sensitivity. Another way to get relief is by rubbing high fluoride toothpaste onto irritated teeth and leaving it there just before bed, for example. The fluoride safeguards enamel, says Jung Gu, an oral pathologist who teaches dentistry at Dalhousie University in Halifax, Canada. Another folk remedy is to clove oil from cloves. More than 2,000 years ago in China, people chewed cloves to freshen their breath. While using cloves for a toothache is not a new idea, a recent discovery at Friedrich Alexander University Erlangen-Nuremberg in Germany points to the mechanism behind it. The scientist shows that exposed tooth cells containing TRPC5, a special protein responsible for transmitting sensation of cold to the brain. Cloves contain a compound called eugenol, which can block TRPC5. Make your own tooth rub by crushing 1/4 teaspoon of cloves and blending it with 1/4 cup olive oil, then rub it into the sensitive areas. For canker sores, swish some honey. Honey is high in antioxidants, which can protect skin health, and also antibacterial, thanks in part to its sugar content. In 12 of 13 studies analyzed by researchers at the University of Canterbury in Bruce, Australia, using honey topically for canker sores, denture irritation, or mouth sores from cancer treatment helps them heal faster or prevented the discomfort from becoming more severe, compared to pain reported by people in the control groups. To get some sweet relief, try putting a glob of honey on your finger and hold it directly on the sore area, says Dr. Gu. Your saliva will wash it off otherwise. Hold it there for 1 minute so it will be completely absorbed. Not honey is the same. Raw honey may be higher in antioxidants, and pasteurized processed honey may contain added sweeteners. But more research is needed before science can say for sure which honey's sources are most beneficial. And with that, let's switch over to consumer reports. And from the editor, greener choices ahead. Our work begins by listening to you. That's why we increased our coverage of sustainability issues, so you know about products and services that don't harm your health or the environment. Since 2009, CR has surveyed hundreds of thousands of consumers on environmental issues, and our January 2022 actually representative survey revealed that 72% of you believe your actions help protect the planet. I filled out that survey, by the way. What a majority saying you purchase various types of eco-friendly products, including efficient appliances. People want choices to fit their lifestyles, values, and budgets. That's why we created CR's Green Choice designation, so you can learn which vehicles produce the cleanest emissions, which washing machines use less water and energy, and why this month's cover story, Save More, Waste Less, focuses on sustainable options around your home that will also help to cut cost. Personal actions matter, but clearly a majority of Americans agree that businesses and government also play a role in creating systemic change, and CR is pushing to make that happen. Recent CR testing exposed the amount of dangerous PFA chemicals in food containers, and after learning about our investigation, several companies publicly committed to reducing the amount of PFAS in their packaging. In addition, we organized thousands of consumers to urge the Environmental Protection Agency to limit truck and bus pollution and submitted recommendations for new emission standards. And CR will soon release the largest survey to date on electric vehicles and low-carbon fuels. Together, we will strengthen our consumer-powered movement to improve the marketplace for both people and the planet. Marta Teledotto, President and CEO. Safety data. Update. In early 2021, CR lab tests found a problem with a smoke and carbon monoxide CO detector made by Universal Security Instruments. The alarm could be set off too late or not at all when exposed to CO. We shared the results with the company and the Consumer Product Safety Commission at the time and designated the model a don't buy performance problem. In late March 2022, the company recalled this and other detector model and offered to replace them free of charge. Learn more about the recalled models at cr.org/universalalarm. Making online markets fairer. To be fair and effective, a marketplace must give all buyers and sellers products and services, information and ideas on equal opportunity to thrive. But that's not always the case in the digital world, where a few corporate behemoths increasingly dominate the exchange of goods, services, and information. In fact, consumers are deeply troubled by current market conditions. Roughly 3 out of 4 Americans worry about the power wielded by the biggest tech companies, according to a 2020 nationally represented CR survey of 3,219 U.S. adults. That's why CR is advocating 2 bills that would limit the company's power to introduce more competition and consumer choice at lower prices. One is the American Innovation and Choice Online Act, which would prevent tech platforms from giving preference to their own products and services over those of competitors. Google couldn't make its own airline flight search results more prominent than Kayak's, for example. The other is the Open App Markets Act, which, among other things, would make it easier to switch between Apple and Android phones and to choose default apps for smartphone functions such as email, web search, and smart voice assistants. Both bills have passed the Senate Judiciary Committee with large bipartisan majorities. Through full passage, CR helped organize an effort by more than 100 groups and small companies to drum up support. CR alone has generated more than 25,000 consumer messages. You can still add your voice at cr.org/competition. 81% of Americans feel it's a problem that online platforms have become so large and powerful. Relief for student debt. What's at stake? 2 programs designed to make higher education more affordable have largely failed their intended beneficiaries. The Public Service Loan Forgiveness, PSFLF, program, which promises to erase any remaining student debt for borrowers who work in qualifying public service and not-for-profit jobs after 10 years of payments, turned down 99% of those who applied. And as of September 2019, only 32 of some 4.4 million student borrowers who had been repaying loans for 20-plus years had received forgiveness that had been promised by the income-driven repayment IDR plans. Both programs, which long predate the current debate over blanket student loan cancellation, have been plagued by overly complicated rules and mismanagement on the part of the Department of Education and loan servicers. How CR has your back. CR has been pushing to make sure these borrowers get the relief they've been promised and had earned for years. In addition to working with regulators, we generated over 25,000 public comments in September 2021, urging the Department of Education to fix the PSLF. That same month, our advocates held a well-attended webinar drawing attention to the problem. In October 2021, the department expanded eligibility for the PSLF. In April, it made similar fixes to the IDR loan cancellation program. Tens of thousands of students' loans will be forgiven, and millions more are closer to it as a result. Learn more about the new policies and how to take advantage of the programs at cr.org/student loans. Reader feedback. Or maybe it's member feedback. Now, May 2022 article, Say Big on RX Drugs, shared information on how to get the best possible prices when borrowing your prescription meds online. Our readers shared their own money-saving strategies. And to add to your ideas, head to cr.org/RX Drug Costs. Many thanks for your story, Say Big on RX Drugs. I have been on Medicare for 3 years, and none of the drug plans I've had have a decent price for estradiol, helpful for women in menopause. Under my current drug plan, I paid $100 for 8 doses. After I investigated all of the mail-order plans included in the story, I found the drug at costplusdrugs.com, 30 doses for a grand total of $34.10, which included the $5 shipping. Wow, you have paid for my subscription to Consumer Reports for a few years with the savings. Thanks for your great service. Patricia Van Zandt. Thank you for your reporting as a Medicare Part D subscriber. On my plan this year, I pay dearly for any script that isn't a Tier 1 drug. My healthcare provider usually pushes back regarding my request for a paper script so I can comparison shop before a script is transmitted to my selected pharmacy provider. Transferring a script sent electronically is not always easy or optional. Linda Webb, Willoughby, Ohio. Editor's note. All of the online pharmacies we checked when reporting our May feature allowed consumers to comparison shop without requiring proof of a prescription. If you find a site you'd like to use, you can ask your doctor or pharmacist to transfer the prescription to the online seller. Some websites may even put in a request on your behalf. Thanks for some names of online pharmacies. I switched a Tier 3 prescription from my Costco warehouse to Costco's mail order service, which saved me considerable because it was not run through my insurance. Then I discovered that it was cheaper still at the Costco warehouse if not run through insurance. So many times, many rules, games, and obtuse strategies in our chaotic healthcare system. Barry Northrup. Your recent article did mention the prescription discount programs in Oregon and Washington State, administered by ArrayRx. Every resident of the state is eligible, but they have to join. There is no membership fee. The discounts are substantial and honored by many pharmacies in both states. The discounts are sometimes enough that the drug would cost less than some insurance copays. That's from Max Sensor, Ashland, Oregon. When I looked at online pharmacy several years ago, the fine print stated that it would harvest your web browser history and resell it. Pharmacy staff are just being helpful when they tell you to go online to get a coupon. But no one mentions that by doing so, you give up your privacy. Wendy Acutis, St. Paul, Minnesota. Editor's note. It's possible that some online pharmacies may collect information about you. It's one easy way to protect your privacy when looking for Rx drug discounts may be to ask your pharmacist to look up the print the coupons for you. Are mailed medications safe? Your article on lower prices was excellent. My insurance offers a very inexpensive plan if it could mail the medication. I have risked degradation due to heat and to a lesser degree cold. With slower mail service and a metal mailbox, I am concerned. I am hypertensive and do want my medication to be degraded and not work. Any thoughts or research in this area? George Hager, Collegeville. Thanks. Pharmacies that regularly ship prescriptions through the mail say they take precautions to ensure the medication isn't exposed to temperature and humidity extremes that would compromise efficacy. For example, Amazon told CR it designs its packaging and shipping materials to withstand extremes. Costco told us that at least twice a year and during periods of extreme weather, it sends test prescriptions through the mail that include devices that record temperature and humidity levels within the packaging. When the problems emerge, the company modifies its shipping practices. More than 1 billion prescription drugs are sent through the mail every year, which not only reduces medication costs, but eliminates the risk of a pharmacy not delivering needed drugs in a timely way. That said, it's best to check with your doctor to make sure that any medication you take can be safely shipped, because some are more sensitive than others. And I will say one thing, it has nothing to do with medications, but don't offer anything chocolate from Amazon when the temperature outside is 90 degrees. Believe me, when it arrives, it doesn't look like it's supposed to. I read with much interest your article, How to Make Your Car Last 200,000 Miles. My 1994 Camry made it to 262,000. One thing to keep in mind, even if you drive 20,000 miles a year, it still takes you 10 years to reach 200,000 miles. During that time, cars will have changed substantially, especially regarding safety features. The result is that a 200,000-mile car could be quite antiquated. Editor's note, a decade is a solid run for a car, but you certainly need to consider the cost, reliability, and safety of the vehicle as it ages. Buying a new car to access the latest in safety features is a smart move if you can afford it. You should also keep an eye out for rust and other mechanical deterioration in older cars, especially if you park your car outside, which can become a safety issue. I enjoy reading What to Expect the way to 200,000 miles. But I almost fell out of my chair when I read the price of brake pads at $607 a pair. Brake pads can be purchased from a local auto parts store for $30 to $50. Many readers can install them by themselves after watching a YouTube video. The significant savings can be used to buy helpful tools and still keep money in your pocket. I'm not an auto mechanic, but online videos have helped me determine whether or not to repair a do-it-yourself product or a professional mechanic project. The editor's note, our cost estimate for brake pads included brake rotors, which increases the price substantially. We don't advise that those who are not experienced in auto mechanics do most types of repair, especially brake maintenance or repair. For brake pads, we recommend taking your car to an independent repair shop, which may cost less than going to a dealer. There are some minor tasks you can do yourself to save money, such as replacing air filters, windshield wiper blades, and some types of headlights bulbs. For do-it-yourself car repair pointers, go to cr.org/DIY auto. You say not to splurge on synthetic oil unless the owner manual calls for it. But doesn't synthetic oil last longer? So wouldn't you save money in the long run by using it and needing fewer changes? Editor's note, manufacturers state that you should change your oil when you reach a specific mileage, regardless of the oil type. We don't recommend going longer between oil changes than your manual states, because it may void your warranty coverage. I read with interest your May article, Goodbye Mess, Quick Ways to Organize Your Stuff. The section Paperwork Piles did not mention minimizing accumulated paperwork in the first place. For several years, I have allowed almost zero paperwork to my side long-term in my home. I can receive billing statements, important receipts, even insurance policies by email now. What I do receive on paper can be scanned and electronically stored. I have downsized from about 12 file cabinet drawers, of paper to two drawers. Editor's note, digitizing paper is a great way to declutter, but many cloud options charge subscription fees if you need over 5 gigabytes of space. To help decide which online storage services might be right for you, go to cr.org/cloud-storage. In ordering flowers, in your May 2022 article, What That $55 Bouquet Really Looks Like, you didn't suggest ordering directly from local florists. Online flower companies often contract with local florists to make bouquets, so by ordering directly, you can cut out the middleman and support a small business in your community. Many small florists have online ordering just like the big ones, or you can call the florist about a custom bouquet. What we're testing in our labs. Mesh routers, 34 models. We test for the internet speed, throughput, from 8 to 55 feet away for the router base, and how easy the model is set up, how well it protects your privacy, and more. The median score was 72, ranges from 31 to 83. At 82 overall is the Netgear Orbi 3-pack at $200. Easy setup is Google Nest Wi-Fi 3-pack, $250, got an 81. Budget-friendly pick is the DP Deco W360 2-pack, $130, got a 73. Electronic pressure washers, 24 models we test for. Efficiency and ease in cleaning range of services, the amount of pressure offered and noise level when in use. Median was 58, the range scored from 45 to 68. The best overall cleaner was Greenwook's GPW, $250, core to 68. Nice price and easy to use was the Works WG604 at $170, core to 65. And quiet and good stain removal was the Greenworks GPW 2700, $350, 65 overall score. Had neat big wheels on that one. Is there anything I shouldn't clean with my new pressure washer? Ask our expert. Pressure washers are great for cleaning cronky patios and driveways, but there's some service to avoid. Decks made from hardwood, like Ipe, and even many pressure treated woods, like Southern Yellow Pine, are usually fine to pressure wash, but composite decks might not be, and doing so could void your warranty. Check with the brand first. Start with low-pressure muzzle on an inconspicuous spot to ensure that the spray doesn't leave marks. Take care with aluminum, siding, and wood shingles. The spray can dent aluminum and loosen shingles. Low pressure on vinyl, fiber cement, and wood clapboard siding should be fine. Finally, never pressure wash roofing or a car. It could result in serious damage. Dish detergents. I think we all use these. 23 products. The test for how well a dish detergent removes caked on food from dinner plates, how well it resists leaving water spots on clear drinking glasses, and more. The median is 75, range was 47 to 92. Excellent single-use packs are the Cascade Action Packs with Dawn, 22 cents per load. Overall score was an 89. Buy of single-use packs, 115 counts. Kirtland Signature Costco Platinum Performance Ultrasign at 9 cents per load, scored at 86. Interestingly, I get my dishwasher things from BJ's rather than Costco, and the packaging they're showing here in the picture looks identical between the two of them. I bet they're made by the same people. Bargain gel bottle, 75 ounces. Great dishwasher gel, Walmart, 5 cents per load, scored an overall score of 74. Interior paints. We tested 23 products. We test for how well a paint covers a black surface in a single coat and how well a paint resists oil and water-based stains. The median score was 64. It ranged from 44 to 88. The score, one that got the 88 was the top pick from Home Depot, the Behr Marquee, $53 per gallon. Best choice at Lowe's, HGTV Home by Sherwin Williams, $62 per gallon, scored at 85. And good value and no VOCs at Home Depot, Behr Premium Plus at $35 per gallon, scored a 79. Rice cookers. We tested 6 models. How perfectly your model cooks right, how easy it is to use the model's controls, including its program settings, and more. Median was 67, the range was 59 to 76. Easy to clean was the Instant Zet 8-cup cooked, $30, 70 score. Generous 5-year warranty. Hamilton Beach Cooker and Steamer, $35.19. 8-cup cooked at $35. Overall score was 70. Space saver that makes excellent right, Zoroyushi 6, 3-cup uncooked, $45, 61 overall score. Air purifiers. We tested 90 models. We test for how well the air purifier removes dust and smoke, the level of noise a purifier makes, how easy it is to use, and more. The median score was 49. The range was 12 to 91. Wow, that's a big range. Top performer but pricey was the Allen BreatheSmart 75i Pure, $750, scored the 91. Great dust remover for less was the Blue Air Pure 211 Plus at $300, scored an 85. And quieter pick was the Honeywell Insight HPA 5300, $250, and it scored a 74. Ask our experts. How can I fix a small area of peeling paint in my bathroom? If you have leftover paint of the original color, check to see if it's still usable, says Rich Handel, who oversees paint ratings at CR. You know the paint is too old if you find a thick rubber-like layer sitting on top of the paint, or the paint doesn't mix well when stirred. Paint that's still usable should stay blended for 10 to 15 minutes after mixing. To test it, try painting a small area on a piece of cardboard. The paint should go into the surface smoothly, and the color should be uniform. If you determine that the paint isn't usable, take the can to a paint or home improvement store and ask whether they can match the color for you. Before applying a fresh paint to the wall, use a metal putty knife to scrape away the cracked or peeling paint, smoothing any bumps and edges around nail holes. Taper sharp edges where old paint removes by sanding lightly with very fine sandpaper. Then mix 1/4 cup of low-suds household detergent, such as Spick and Span powder, cleanser, into 1 gallon of warm water. Dip into a dual-sided scrum budge into the bucket and lightly rough up the surface for better paint adhesion. Then, with clean water and a cloth, remove any residual detergent. Once the area is dry, use a smacking compound to fill in any depressions and sand them so the surface is smooth. To apply the paint, use a roller or brush. Our experts suggest using synthetic brushes for water-based paints and natural brushes for oil-based ones, going a little beyond the spot you're touching up to blend any edges. If the touched-up spot is noticeable when it's dry, you may need to repaint a larger area or the entire wall. Well, buying a car with lighter colored seats keeps my car interior and cooler. It will, but not by much. Our CRs tested this long-held theory using 2 cars, one with a light-colored exterior and interior, and the other with a dark exterior and interior. The testers parked the cars in the sun. According to Mike Monticello, CR's road test manager, the initial temperature inside both cars was 78 degrees. Within an hour, the temperature for both was over 100 degrees. The dark-colored car registered 109 Fahrenheit, while the light-colored one was 104 Fahrenheit. So even though the vehicle was light-colored and colored interior was slightly less hot, it was still far from cool inside. A better way to stay comfortable driving on hot days is to consider buying a vehicle with cooled or ventilated seats. which blow cool air on you through the perforated upholstery. It's a feature that's becoming more widely available. For example, you could find it offering some mid-priced Ford and Kia models. By the way, there is a good reason to opt for a dark interior. It will hide dirt and stains more easily than a light interior. I'm tired of finding wilted lettuce in my fridge. How can I make it last longer? There are a few things you can do. First, buy hardier types of lettuce. Delicate leaf lettuces such as arugula and baby lettuce mixes stay fresh for only a few days in the fridge, but romaine and ice bag last about a week. Also, buy whole lettuce, which you wash at home, rather than pre-washed, cut, and packaged lettuce, which tend to spoil more quickly. If you do opt for packaged lettuce, check for moisture inside the container. That's a sign that the lettuce might last long. You can also do a few things to keep lettuce fresher in your fridge. First, remove any slimy or damaged leaves. Place the remaining lettuce in an airtight container along with a clean, damp cloth or paper towel to help absorb excess moisture. Then store in your fridge's crisper drawer. In many fridges, the humidity of each crisper drawer can be adjusted separately. Set the drawer for a high for veggies prone to spoiling quickly, such as leafy greens and broccoli. Keep produce that ripens over time, including apples, avocados, and pears, in a different drawer, away from the lettuce. The ethylene gas they emit can hasten spoilage and other nearby produce. CR Insights. For a better walk, try this. You've probably heard it 1,000 times. A daily walk can boost your cardiovascular health, as we have, while helping you to relax and enjoy the great outdoors. But you're getting that fresh air, little annoyance, mosquito buzzing around you, or headphones that conk out unexpectedly can suck the fun out of your time out there. To make your watch more enjoyable this summer, consider a list of top-rated gear and editor's picks. Get in the groove with the Sensen Hyder CX350B80 overall score for earbones. These earphones offer the great sound at a nice price, but because they're connected to each other on a wire, they can rest on the back of your neck when you're not done listening to that podcast. They wirelessly connect to your phone or a smartwatch or other device via Bluetooth. You can track your progress with the Fitbit Inspire 2 at $100. This band pairs easily with an iPhone or Android phone. It also rates very good at accurate counting steps and measuring heart rate, so you can see how your walks are stacking up each time. What's more, you can wear the band for 10 days without charging it. Bring the essentials. Patagonia Ultralight Black Hole Mini Hip Pack. Made of weather-resistant recycled nylon, this bag clips around your waist or hips and can be worn across the body sling, leaving your hands free. Although compact, 4¾ by 8 by 2 inches, it offers a 1-liter capacity, enough room to fit a phone, a wallet, keys, sunscreen, and maybe more. Stay hydrated. Zeroashi 16-ounce mug for $28. Quench your thirst on a long walk with this slim, lightweight thermos. It keeps drinks cold for 7 hours or hot for 13 and a half hours. Our testers noted that the cap is easy to open with one hand. Then simply lock the leak-proof lid if you need to throw it in a bag. Keep bugs at bay. Ben's Tick and Insect Repellent Wipes for $6. If you love a walk into wooded areas or around high grass, it's wise to wear insect repellent. These wipes, which come individually wrapped, are the best repellent we've rated. Use a sheet to quickly wipe exposed skin before you head out. How to find a more comfortable shoe. Foot pain. Chances are your shoes don't fit you right, and the consequences aren't just the aches you feel now. Shoes that are too small can cause serious problems down the road, like bunions and hammer toes, and wearing a pair that's too big causes blisters and also puts you at a risk of taking a serious fall. What follows here? Strategies for finding the best fall of a foot. Shop for shoes in the afternoon. Feet swell over the course of the day, so the pair that feels okay in the morning might actually be too snug for you at dinner time. Get your feet measured again. I'm a size 8.5. It's your automatic response to an inevitable question from a salesperson. But how accurate is that sizing? Footwear that fits properly should have between 3/8 and a half an inch of space between the tips of your big toes and the shoe's end when you're standing up. The front of the shoe should also accommodate the width of your foot when you're standing without any pressure. Your heel should fit snugly. You should not slip up and down when you take a few steps around the store. And you shouldn't feel any pinching, pressure, or sliding. Never buy shoes that are too snug now with the idea that you'll break them in later. Number 3. Look for traction. Rubber soles with treads provide the best traction on most surfaces in wet and dry conditions. Also consider shoes with Velcro rather than laces, which can become a tripping hazard when untied. Though slip-ons like casual flip-flops might seem like a great choice for summer, they typically offer little traction and increase your risk of tripping. Choosing a supportive athletic shoe is a much smarter pick for stability. Number 4, support troubled feet. If you have hammer toes, bunions, or calluses, get shoes with stretchable fabric and square-shaped toes, which puts less pressure on problem areas. Choosing a wide size can also help. If you have osteoarthritis, opt for firm shoes. Think athletic shoes with arch support rather than slip-on flats. If the fat pads on the bottom of your feet have thinned, consider custom inserts for more arch support. Time traveler. In the green home. In 1948, we tested corded electric lawnmowers and say they are lighter and quieter than gas mowers, but the cowpords can snag on trees and rocks. In 1954, at Bell Labs, scientists developed solar cells that convert sun's energy to electric power to run equipment such as a telephone. In 1959, we tell readers how to make any AC unit more efficient by vacuuming condenser coils and cleaning or replacing filters regularly. In 1975, President Gerald R. Ford signs the Energy Policy and Conservation Act, the EPCA, which includes efficiency standards for appliances. And in 1980, we find that bottom freezer fridges aren't energy efficient. Buying a top freezer saves more than 2,000 electric bills over the life of the fridge. How about we do a little word power to close out? The poet T.S. Eliot once wrote, "What we call the beginning is often the end. The end is where we start from." That's certainly true of these words. Each begins and ends with the same letter. Start by the quiz below, then come first circle by checking the answers on the next page, which we shall do electronically. Epitome. Is that the exact center, the first edition, or an ideal example? An ideal example. Wearing a stunning gown and a huge diamonds, the actress was the epitome of red carpet glamour. Armada. A long pause, a fleet of ships, or an expensive suit. Armada was a fleet of ships. The Armada sped across the channel in pursuit of the enemy warships. Tacit. Tacit, unspoken, so-so, sticky, unspoken. Is your nod a tacit admission that I was right all along? How about rapier? Gang of thieves, a mountain climber, a two-edged sword. And that is a two-edged sword. I challenge you to a duel, the knight cried, brandishing a rapier. And with that, we've just about run out of time for today's episode of Reader's Digest Consumer Reports. Be sure to listen in next time. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast on our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. That's 919-832-5138. I'm Jim Cronin, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. So long until next week, and thanks so very much for listening.